We bow our heads in prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we can say from the bottom of our heart, amazing grace, the saved a wretch like me. Therefore, we can say with the Apostle Paul how he thought himself the chief of sinners, even though he was completely redeemed by you and understood the doctrine of justification, sanctification, the baptism with the Holy Ghost, an imminent glory which was already his by reason of the virtue of the Christ within him, yet considering himself in that same position as long as he was here in the flesh, that he was a chief sinner. We are too, Lord, because of ourselves we're nothing, and we never intend of ourselves to be anything, Lord, and hope of ourselves that should never dawn upon us for one moment that that would be possible to think that we could be anything of ourselves. But, Lord, through you we trust that sometime we might receive the very fullness that you said was ours by our union with Jesus Christ, that we would, through the very righteousness of God which is ours, become the very image of Jesus Christ, our Lord, even as we've been faithfully taught that he became us that we might become him. And so here we are, Lord, presenting ourselves tonight, and we pray, Lord, that we are indeed a sheaf of first fruits unto you, a part of that first resurrection, and, Lord, that it might be proven not to our satisfaction, but, Lord, only to yours, that you might present us to yourself and be a witness also in this world, even before the end time, before the bride is caught away, that we might be as such, Lord, as to be before the world, that we are indeed yours, that there might not be found in us any blame or any spot, there might not be any wrinkle upon our garments, but perfect, Lord. So help us tonight to grow into that attainment, Lord God, that we might be able to be caught away to you to the marriage supper. This is what we want. We pray you'll solemnize this end, Lord. Help us now in this message to realize just what is here in this world tonight and what the great Antichrist deception is all about. Lord, as we study it, may you guide us and help us to that end. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tonight, we want to take a study on the Antichrist deception, not as though you didn't understand the subject, but in order to help you to understand it all the more, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and hearing is understanding. And many people, because of Brother Branham's statement that you don't have to understand it to believe it, seem to be inclined to feel that there is no such thing as an understanding. This is not true. What he is telling you and me is that we start out without understanding, but because of vindication, we believe it. He was vindicated. And you'll find that's how the Apostle Paul put it. Even though people didn't want to receive him, he was vindicated. The message was vindicated. And so you start by believing it. Then, on the sheer grounds of the fact that you accept it or receive it, which is initial believing, then it becomes a revelation, which is true faith. Because faith is a revelation. Now, if it's a revelation, then you know what you believe. And to know what you believe, you understand it. And remember, our understanding is to be opened at the end time. The Bible says that they'll be running to and fro, but the wise will understand. They'll know. They'll know their God. And that's what we're believing tonight, that what Brother Branham taught us, and we received by faith, we're in receiving an increasing knowledge, which means the Word is becoming more and more correlated into one unity. The Word is one bread. It's not many breads. It's one bread. Now, there may be many slices of it. It's just like the manna in the golden vessel. It was the same manna. But as Brother Branham said, that the high priest could go behind that veil once a year, and he could take out a portion of that manna, which was not corrupted. That manna was the manna that Moses foresaw, and by the ability which was to loose on earth what was previously loosed in heaven, which is a prophetic revelation, he brought the manna down to earth. Then you'll notice that he ate the same manna that he brought down through the predestinating power of God as did the people. See, he had the same food. Prophet didn't have one bit different food. And remember, if you look to a prophet to have an intimate knowledge, which Brother Branham said a prophet was a revealer, which is the original meaning of a prophet. He's a revealer. Then, if we eat the same that he ate, then we are going to have an intimacy of revelation compatible with his, though not to the same intense degree, unless God wants it. See? So, we must never fail to stand up in our day, coming before God, to know increasingly the Word of the Lord. There has to be an unfolding, as the Scripture says, we go from faith to faith, which is from revelation to revelation. And it's not simply to make us smart, no, but we're to know the things of God. And remember, the things of God is the Word. And at the end time, all the things of God, as revealed by all the prophets, see, were to be revealed to us. And then the earmark is, and said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, which is true, then it goes right to, not Moses, but it goes to Samuel. See? And the word of the Lord came to Samuel by vision. The word of the Lord was already there through, how? Moses. And God sent a prophet, Samuel. And the word of the Lord was a vision. Now, types Brother Branham to perfection. They don't care how you turn. This word is perfect. Brother Branham said, when perfection has come, and who is perfect but God, and who is God but the Word? And by His grace we believe we have the perfectly revealed Word of the hour. Now, if the prophet ate the manna, having brought the manna through predestination for the people, then don't tell me we've got a bunch of people around looking at manna and say, well, I guess that's fine. Hogwash. That ain't fine. I want it. I'm sick and tired of seeing the filthy rich and the devil run this world. I want it. I don't want the shape it's in. They can have it the shape it's in. I want God to put it back in shape, then He'd come down on it. Now, you may sit here and not want the manna. I can't believe that for 1 minute, or you wouldn't be here. I believe I'm going to eat what the prophet ate. Because if I'm eating something the prophet didn't eat, I'm going to be mighty skeptical. There was a prophet and a bunch of folk gathered around in the school of the prophets, and they got the old girds out, and they threw stuff in the pot, and they said, oh, man, what a feast. Latter rain nonsense, see. One fellow threw this in, and one fellow threw that in, and pretty soon one fellow cried out because things just weren't gelling. Oh, man of God, there's death in the pot. And this old Elijah, having a double portion of the Spirit of Elijah upon him, and threw in the meal. Now they could sit down and eat it. See, what did he do? Corrected the air. So all he had to do is correct the air. What was it? See, Brother Branham came and corrected the air by bringing the revealed Word of God, and everything fell into line. He didn't have to come along and preach the whole Bible over again. Why, Luther done a good job in justification. The only trouble is they messed it up. I still can't understand how the Lutherans are as dumb as the Catholics. I've got Luther's books in my library. Let me tell you, fact, the Lutheran Church is not preaching what Luther preached. And I can prove it. Challenge any theologian living, he can't begin to deny what I got in my library. See? Right, Roman Catholic Church is so messed up now, Lutheran's messed up. Sanctification, they preach a silly little old thing about sanctification, eradication. I've got Wesley. I didn't have it. Don't have it anymore. But I've got his New Testament translation, and I've had Wesley's books, and I can't find what they said Wesley taught because Wesley didn't teach it. See, you go back to the beginning of Pentecost, and they never did teach what people say they taught. No, sirree. But they got in error. Now what happens? Brother Branham come on the scene. He corrects the error. What do you got? You got perfection. See, so we can thank the Lord for that. I don't have perfection, but I got what was brought here as perfection. And I want to eat on that. See, I'm not interested in anything else. I want what Moses brought, that manna. See? Now, what is that manna? Christ, the living Word. See? He said, I am that manna come down from heaven. And if any man eat of me, he'll live forever. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And what is it? That same one was revealed. Now then, if anybody wants something else, You can go to your trough and your hog wallow, be my guest, but don't ask me to come. I'm not going to bother. Now, not satisfied with that nonsense. I've got all the books that explain it all. Sure, but they sit in my shelf. Well, if I want to look at them sometime near there, that's where I got them. See? But just stay with this word as the prophet brought it. Now, that's what we're talking about tonight. Antichrist deception. See? What did Brother Branham say about it? What's in the Word of God? You say, well, Brother Branham never preached the Antichrist. I beg to differ. If he preached the Christ and revealed him, then Antichrist is automatically revealed. We'll show you that. It's even based upon a quote. Now, what is the revelation? The Antichrist deception. We go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Beginning at the third verse. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalts himself above all that's called God, for that's worship, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember not that I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will hinder, see to be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. You notice in here it says that he'll be consumed with the spirit of the mouth of God. Then if he will be consumed with it, then there's only one way to fight him now, and that's with the Spirit from the same mouth, and the Spirit and the Word are one, which is the revealed Word of Almighty God. There's no way to defeat the Antichrist, which was and is to come, except through the same means that God defeats him, which is by the Spirit of his mouth, which is that Word. He'll destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And of this cause, God shall send a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, not a lie, but the lie, that they all might be condemned, judged, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, we have no doubt here that this is the Antichrist. Paul's description here is of a man who is the Antichrist. And he is the very same one spoken of in the book of Revelation, chapter 13 and verse 4 by John. And they worship the dragon because he sits in the temple of God demanding worship. And they worship the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast saying, who is like unto the beast and who is able to make war with him? This is one and the same person who is sitting in the temple of God demanding and receiving worship. Now, you'll notice in what I read over here, in the book of 2 Thessalonians, that second chapter, that we have the revelation of this Antichrist advent, or in other words, how he comes into power. And notice in verse 7, the mystery of iniquity. The spirit that will one day take the form of a man to be the Antichrist is already working in the church. Where is it working? In the what? Church. Now, is the church a building or is it people? It's people. See? Now, notice a little bit further. In verse 10, his coming is with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. In other words, it tells you how it comes and where it is. Can't perish. The Spirit is already in the people. Huh? Sure is. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion. There's nothing more in the realm of delusion than a man that's possessed of a spirit. He's under a control. See? That they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now you can see the advent or the reason for the rise of this man lies in a church. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 John, the 4th chapter, and we're going to find it proven, because you just don't go to one place in the Bible. You've got to go to all the places. And we're not going to have time tonight, of course. The message isn't geared to that, but we're going to mount the two witnesses sufficient. That's what the Bible says. All right, we've got the mouth of Paul. We're going to take the mouth of John in 1 John 4, 1-6. Beloved, believe not every spirit, that which is amongst the people, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now you know that the revealed word of God comes by the prophets. Now here is an unrevealed word that comes by the prophets. See? False prophets. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now that, according to William Branham, was a present day experience that he even lined up to his own ministry as of this hour. And you got to put it through the whole seven church ages and every minister that's been ordained to God to be a messenger. That's why he said they were God to the people. Now, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Doesn't say has come or had come. It says is come. See? And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now, let's follow this through how the prophet was right. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And he calls that church the world. Preached on that Sunday morning and showed you. See? Oh, how people's minds don't want to grasp this. They got some idea about communism, or some idea about the heathen in Africa, or over in Thailand. Let me tell you flat. Israel was hated by Egypt. Yet it was Jannes and Jambres that rose up against Moses. Heathen prophets who didn't believe in God, who denied it all, and said, you're Jehovah God, hogwash and pooey on him. What do you mean a Jehovah God? Don't tell me that nonsense. And the Ephesian people said the same thing. Great is Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. Don't give me this nonsense about a Jehovah God, pooey on him. I want you to get the picture. It says, and Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so did these a reprobate mind and faith, withstand it. Everything that's off the word is antichrist, and God judges it. Puts it all in one pot. Two spirits, not three spirits. See? You can't get people to understand that. They still go around mumbling in their beer, that antichrist is a communist. They're just a part of it. But they're not the ones involved. It's these in the church system, see? We keep showing you this thing. They're of the world, and they speak, and therefore they speak of the world. And that takes in everything that's against the Word. An outright denial of God, a substitution for God, anything whatsoever that is off of the revealed Word of Almighty God falls into this pot right here. Now listen, we are of God. He that knoweth God, he hears us. In other words, John was standing there as a prophet, as a messenger of the hour, identified with Paul, because Paul identified with him and Peter, and they could stand up and say, you hear us. You're hearing God, says right here. Hey, yes, sir. Paul went down to see if his message was right. He said they didn't add a thing. Now it says, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The very same thing the Apostle Paul taught. See, a spirit in the church. A spirit in a group of men. Now, thus we can clearly see that the Antichrist is nothing but the chief officer of a corrupt church system who becomes the embodiment as a title seat and as a head for that spirit. See, exactly right. Now, this is made very clear in the book of Revelation. Even clear in Revelation chapter 13, 1-7. Let's look at it. I've got a point in mind what I'm dealing up to. You'll catch it in a little while. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, saw a beast come up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, upon his head, the name of blasphemy, blasphemous names. And the beast I saw, like to a leopard, a feet as a bear, mouth as a lion, a dragon gave him power, and his seat and great authority. You see, dragon given the power, the beast he can be worshipped. Saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. Deadly wound was healed. All the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, gave power to the beast. They worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And the power was given unto him to continue 42 months. See, there's your false prophets and the false word. See the mouths speaking, coming up into a headship. An actual incarnation. Just like Jesus Christ was the incarnation of all the word of those prophets of the Old Testament. The word became flesh and dwelt among them. And he said, there's, I came in my Father's name and you receive me not. There's one going to come in his own name and you're going to receive him. See, certainly. Now, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. See? Actually, to cast aspersions on what? Those that have gone before the resurrected saints of the Lord Jesus Christ and so on. Now, he was able to make war with the saints, overcome them, power given over all kindreds, tongues and nations, all them that dwell upon earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Now, notice in verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, and the sea is people. So here is a person rising up through a church system which guarantees a hierarchy with somebody over it, and they vote him into power. It's actually a political demonstration. He is actually voted in because he rises up out of that sea which is people. Notice, in verse 7, he destroys the saints. See? Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 17 and see the Babylonian church system. Not the man now, but the system. There came out of this one of the seven angels. Verse 1, 17. And had seven vials. Talk to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now, you've got a woman sitting upon many waters. You've got a man coming up out of many waters. So the man comes up out of a woman sitting on many waters. Then what's the woman sitting on many waters? She's supposed to be the bride of God, which is the church. In other words, she's a hierarchy with absolute power over the people. They're supposed to be the people of God with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Spiritual fornication. See? The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine or the inspiration of her fornication, which is false spirits, which are devils. Come on, read it the way it is. Put the word of God together. If it's right in one place, it's right in the second place. So he carried me away in the spirit, the right spirit this time, into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, blasphemous names, Baptist, Presbyter, and so on, having seven heads and 10 horns. Seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, decked in gold and precious stones and pearls, having a cup in her hand full of the abomination of the filthiness of her fornication, and you know as well as I do that absolutely has to do with religion. Her religion is whoredom, and you can't be a whore unless you're a fallen woman who belongs to another man, claiming to be the bride of Jesus Christ. And she's living as a whore. Spiritual fornication. What's it all about? The word. Not something else. Those old false prophets starting way back there. And upon her forehead name written Mystery Babylon the Great. The mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints. The blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her, I wonder, with great admiration. The angel said, wherefore do you marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carries her, which hath seven heads and 10 horns. Now we could read on, but we don't have time there. Now you'll notice in here, she is identical to the Antichrist. Why? Because in verse 1 she sits upon the waters. She must have come out of them. See? Number 2, in verse 6, she kills the saints. See? And in verse 3, she's sitting there upon a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. You go back to Revelation 13 and 1. You've got the very same thing. You've got a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns with the names of blasphemy. The whole thing shows you that the Antichrist and the system and the people are all one. There's one great big unit. Yes, sir. Now, notice in Revelation 18 and 23, it says here, "And the light of the candle shall shine in thee, and no more at all in thee." See? "The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall no more be heard at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by thy sorceries all nations." And the word there is Gentile. In other words, she will be able to captivate through her religion by the false prophet and the people building up the system, everybody but the Jews. Now you can see why there's going to be 144,000 nobody come in at the end time, because there won't be anybody come in except the 144,000 that are sealed by the Spirit of Almighty God, and they're first fruits, and they follow the Lamb with us wherever we go. Nobody left. Because every last Gentile, and we're all Gentile outside the Jews, except for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the bride. She isn't a nation. She hasn't got a nationality. Because she's like Jesus. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He was the Son of God. See? The church has identified the true bride with him. Now it says all nations were deceived. Now, we learn it's a Gentile church system. It says right here. Not Israel, it's a Gentile church system that's got the power to do it. Now, in Revelation 17, 9 and 18, the two verses 9 and 18, "Here is a mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits." Now, where is that? That's Rome. I heard a little lady preacher the other day, several days ago now, preaching that this was Jerusalem. Jerusalem doesn't have 7 mountains or 7 hills. I heard another man once say it was Moscow. It doesn't have it. There's only one place got it, that's Rome. 7 mountains. Now, notice, verse 18. "The woman that thou sawest is a great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth." And Jerusalem never did. And Moscow never did. There's only one city that brought down nations and made nations, that's Rome. Not even Avignon. Not even the third city. Rome alone had that power. Rome alone retains that power. Notice also, in chapter 13, I believe it is, verse 18, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for its number of a man, and his number is 666. And there's only one man in the world that's carried 666, and that's the Pope with his title. Even the Catholics themselves admitted that. See, now, and in Revelation 18:23 that we read, see, let's go back and see it. It says here, "And by thy sorceries were all nations deceived." We learn how this church system produced an Antichrist and took over the world. Now we got this far. You hear what I said? In this little part of Scripture, we learn how she does it. How does she take over? It says she does it by her sorceries. Now, sorceries do not mean magical powers by devils through incantation. You got a poor translation. That's the whole trouble. If you want to go to the Greek, you're going to find it says the word sorceries means medication or medicine. It means a drug that is spell-giving potion. Or tranquilizers. A sense of euphoria. Now, go a little deeper.
the meaning of the root word in the Greek is druggist, who is also called a poisoner. Now, what is she doing? She is giving a medication which gives a sense of euphoria, a sense of well-being, an idea of salvation, but she's a druggist who's a poisoner. Now, you wonder why it is that us nuts who believe in natural food can't stand drugs? Because the very meaning of drug is a poison. Never did cure you. It might kill the germ in you, as the prophet said. But when you kill a rat, it doesn't plug the rat hole. Drugs are poison. They should not even be ministered. If there's any reason for doing it, the guy doing it ought to know exactly when to minister the antidote, exactly as Brother Branham said. See, he was wise to this. Not understanding the Greek, knowing particularly and perfectly where the illustration lay that he used, and it lies right here in Revelation 18:23. Drugged by a druggist, which is this church giving her drugs. Now notice, here we find the church then with poisonous remedies. She has cast her spell upon all. Her healing power is to numb the people so they are fooled into believing that her prescribed medication for their sickness is working. Yeah. Pay for a few masses. Join a church. Get to some little group over here. Salvation Army and so on. Listen, what is killing them is what they believe is healing them. Ha! Huh. Apply that to your modern drug doctors and see where you are. Drugs, 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 so they kill you. Check with Barney. His own dad given a bunch of junk and shouldn't have been giving it. Doctors are like a bunch of preachers. You can see that. One preacher gives something that'll make you well, the other will give you something to kill you. Listen, the church is actually taking the place of Jesus, who is the drug, the balm of Gilead. See? The remedy for sin and sickness and death. The people are baptized into the church, but not into Christ. See? She coerces and kills all by her sword and torture who cannot be verbally persuaded to join her. For she said salvation lies in the church. And the people say that's right. This is why Brother Branham kept striking. Stop your shaking hands. Stop your joining a church. It sounds so simple. It sounds so trivial. Anybody could say, well, bless God, us Baptists don't do that. We know better. Hogwash. The Baptists are baptized in the local church, not into Jesus Christ, your Presbyterians, Methodists, a whole bunch of Pentecostals and all. A bunch of church joiners. How can you in one breath say, come and join Jesus Christ, and put the name of any rotten, filthy church in there? Have a church roll. I remember years back I came here and saw your Sunday school thing up there. I said, take it down, throw it up. You did it, thank God. I believe you did right afterwards. I went to one church years ago and I said, get rid of your Sunday school. They did it. The next guy didn't do it. Wrecked his whole church. You say, oh, those things work. They work. They work to take you to hell. If I'm going to have a Sunday school, teach those kids, get a bus, make them a twofold child of hell. Certainly. People fool day and night. They saying it's going to work. But they don't know what's wrong. Now listen, and let's get this straight, see, because here's where my little beef is now. Because people, I think, misunderstood the prophet so bad it'd be pitiful. See, she could not do this. The church could not do this. Nor then could there be an incarnation of that spirit of error, except for the people. They like it that way. That's right. Oh, I know what you're thinking now. Brother Band said, well, go to church, some church. Sure it is. That's right. He said, don't leave your church. That's right. But he also said, let him kick you out. Wonder how far the people got with this word if they weren't kicked out. They couldn't have got very far. Tell you that flat. Because let's put it this way. Many people misunderstood what the prophet was getting at. But we want to clear that up tonight. And we want to show you something in the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 5. I got no bone to pick with anybody. I just got to know what the scripture says. That's all why he said it. 2 Timothy, number 4, 1-5. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering of doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own desires, pleasures, shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. See, there's your skunk in the woodpile, your teacher. That's right. What did Paul say, Jesus say, in the book of Matthew? He said, those false prophets. But listen, you've got to read Peter to get the gospel. Not John, Peter. And Peter says, that's because he explained over there in the book of Acts at the day of Pentecost what the restoration was. And that same Peter, in 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, said, as there were false prophets, there are now false teachers among you. James knew it. He said, be not many masters, be not many teachers, for there is a greater condemnation. See? We've got an influx right now. You can't turn anywhere, but every man's a teacher. I stand here ready to be condemned. I'm either true or false, but I'm stuck because the prophet said so. But I get amazed. Teachers, teachers, teachers. Everybody listens, throws themselves wide open. When are you going to learn? See? That's what's wrong back here. The people want to be taught. Better be careful how you want to be taught. And these people here don't want the truth. They turn their ears away from the truth. And then you got a fable. What's that? Like Aesop's fable. Something with a moral to it. Morals won't save you. Only Christ can save you. See? Takes the Holy Spirit. And what spirit we got? See? Now, these people here, they don't want reality. They turn from the truth. They turn to fables. But watch thou in all things endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of that ministry. Here in the midst of teachers rising up, he said, be an evangelist. I want to ask this to Branham people. Where are our evangelists? Right. Right. Teachers, teachers, teachers. You say, Brother Bill, maybe you ought to lay down your little, what you're supposed to do. Oh, don't catch me doing it, honey. Don't try to tell me what to do. I'll stay and teach true or false till God kicks the something out of me. Throws me into hell or an alley. Whatever he does, I'll stick to what I know I'm supposed to do. See? Yes, sir. I'm serious about this. No fooling around. Here's your damning damage right here. All revealed out here. Shown. Nobody can hide from it. See? Now, they like it that way. See? I'll prove it to you again. Back to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 1 over here in America that came up without people out of a dry land. But the people multiplied. We've got 220 million people here in America now. And we built the image. Came right up out of America. The waters, sea, we've got denomination. You talk about a horse system over here, brother, sister, listen. I can go to certain places in over there in Europe, and what do you got? You've got maybe the Lutheran church and the Catholic church, and the teeniest sprinkling of something. Another group, you've got a Reformed church and a Catholic church. Over here, you've got dozens and literally dozens of churches and great denominations. We're the waters. We're the whores. See? England, what do you got? Anglican, Catholic, little sprinkling. Over here, millions of Methodists, millions of Baptists, millions of Pentecostals, millions of everything. 220 million. 21% Catholic. 79% of the rest Protestant so-called, but building an image right to him and taking us right back to their own. 100,000 ecumenical ministers in the world. That means Protestant. 10,000 speak in tongues. Oh, off the word a million miles. See? The people want it that way. Now we got an idea that this Antichrist sort of sneaks in on it. Oh, what a shame people say that this fella takes over. Hogwash. They make him. Listen, just like the Union. Velly writes many articles in Reader's Digest, and he shows what's going on amongst the trade union men. Bringing in goons to destroy men's property. Destroying America here. Our rotten politicians. Who made them that way? We did because we put them into power. Got the same thing right here. They don't want to clean up the unions. They don't want their churches cleaned up. Like it the way it is. The people do it. I can read my Bible straight. Now notice. It says her sorceries, her remedies for all ills, all nations are deceived. And at the end time, her remedies, her gold. instead of the Spirit of Jesus Christ based upon the blood. They'll all get together. Destroy the whole world. Just take over. Charismatic gifts and all. Now listen, this church deceived the people by her remedy. The word deceived means go astray. All nations are led astray by the church system. Now, what made them go astray? The medication made them go astray. Now, the wrong prescription led them astray. Now, the point is, what did they stray from? Now, you already know the answer. Let's go over here to the book of Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Over there in the book of John, the New 8 version says, rule my sheep, rule my sheep, rule my sheep. The Protestant Bible said, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. A literal translation said, rule my sheep. No, pardon me, feed my sheep, rule my sheep, feed my sheep. But that same word in the Greek is lead. Lead my sheep, lead my sheep, lead my sheep. Remember them that have the leadership over you, who teach to you the word of God. So therefore the leadership is not in any person or persons, but is in the word. But they didn't want the word of God over them. They didn't want the revealed word. They didn't want it in Paul's day. They didn't want it in John's day. That spirit was in the people. They wanted something else. See? Now remember, a spirit turns to a word, can turn to an actual manifestation. See? And now if you turn down the word, see, it was a doctrine, then a spirit, then a man. You turn down the word, you open the door for a spirit, it'll go to a man. Because see, spirit gives light. Light brings forth manifestation. They sure does. Now the word rule means to lead. And this is the leadership. The leadership they had was the word, the revealed word. Thus we see what is wrong. The people don't want to be led by the word. See, they don't want it. And that's what caused this system to start. So here is a people and a system that is actually anti-Christ, but claiming to be Christ, and claim that their word is the word of God, and that God is in their church. But they're all wrong. He's not, see? He is not there whatsoever. He is not with them, though they say he is. They have turned down the word. Now listen. Let's go to this scripture. In 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envy and all evil speaking. Well, you say, man alive, if I could do that, I'd be back where I was born. That's what it says, the newborn babes. You'd be a kid again. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You may grow what? From line up, from word, word, line, to the precept, to the doctrine, to the seven thunders, which is the revealed word of God, come down from heaven that came by the pillar of fire to a prophet. See? Now, if you have so tasted that the Lord is gracious, if you've had an experience, now, to whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now he tells you right here, he's talking about Jesus Christ. A living stone, but disallowed. You're in the same boat. You're disallowed too. You also, as lively stones. You don't disallow, but you're built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer a spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now what kind of sacrifice have you got? The offering of His body, which is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. There's only one way to continue offering that body today, and that's by that Word. There's only one way to worship God. Wherefore also it's contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone. What's Zion? New Jerusalem. Elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious. Believe how? As newborn babes desiring the sincere milk. See, desiring the revealed Word of God that came to the infant church. That stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Now not capstone, head of a corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient or not understanding, no spiritual revelation, whereunto they are appointed. Tells you right there. They stumble at the revealed word. They disallow the word, which is your cornerstone. And with no cornerstone, there is no foundation, there is no building, there is no capstone. Therefore, you've got a false church. And what do? They put their own capstone on it, which is the Antichrist spirit, the spirit of the devil, in a man. Now I ask you, how did they get there? The people wanting it. People want it. Right back to the first age. The people want it. Now you can begin to understand how it is that the people in the Roman Catholic Church that can read history, and knowing the Catholics murdered 68 million Protestants, destroyed nations, their popes lived in whoredom, and they lived in incest, bringing forth children with their own sisters, and were murderers. And three at one time fought each other, hurling imprecations at each other. And they stand back. And they don't care 2 cents because that's the way they want it. Now you see why William Branham never got to first base. The people don't want it any other way. We're rich, increased in goods. We don't need a thing. And furthermore, we don't want anything. So shut up and get out of here. And they moralize. And they destroy the very foundation. And they're building a house that they say, I'm going to have a capstone. My brother, my sister, there is no capstone. Because they've turned away the headstone, which is the word, and they stumbled at it. And they went their own way. Now they'll have an Antichrist. He'll come in his own name. Don't worry. The Pope stands up every day and thunders who he is. See, there you are. Now, they can't take the word. So they embrace a sacrifice and propagate a creed and dogma. Let me tell you flat, my brother, my sister, your filthy church will never turn down the sacrifice. Even Cain didn't turn down the sacrifice, but he brought the sacrifice of the first fruit. They both worshiped. They both brought a sacrifice. And so the churches will never say that Christ died in vain as though it were nothing, though some might, and some have already done it. But the doctrine will still be a sacrifice with a false creed. And a sacrifice, Christ without the word avails nothing. I care that much for your experience, which means nothing at all. Neither does God. And the reason I care nothing is because God cares nothing. If God cared something, I would care something. But God cares nothing about a man's experience outside of that word. See? Let's prove it. It's over here in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. One to do. Let us therefore fear lest the promise, being left up, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached. Notice, unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. The gospel was. Listen, looking forward to Christ would bring them into the eternal city and future of God, the same as us looking back to Jesus Christ. They, by faith, taking that sacrifice, my brother, my sister, though it be but the blood of a lamb or the blood of a heifer, gave them perfect entree to the work of Jesus Christ, and it had captivity captive, and there came Abraham, and there came Sarah, and there came Joseph, and there came Isaac out of the grave. See? Same thing today, brother, sister. We, with the word of God, look back upon his death. Now, they couldn't look forward to him only. They had to have a sacrifice. We got to have the same thing, but ours is the word. And then how are you going to have a sacrifice without the word? See, the gospel preached by them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, they turned down the word with the sacrifice and lost out. That's why I keep on saying, oh, how so many people come along and they say, well, who needs Elijah? I've got Jesus. Hallelujah. You foul-mouthed hypocrite. You got nothing. You watch one day, those words are going to ring back as doom, my brother, my sister, because I got to stand before God for what I preach. Absolutely, absolutely. He that believeth as the Scripture has said. Not as somebody else says. But the divine revelation of Almighty God. Now, so we have learned what the prophet said was correct. An anti-Christ church is an anti-word church. An anti-Christ is anti-word. And the church puts him outside because they're rich, increased in good, and said, we got it all. and they kicked out the very one who was life. That's what it says here. By her sorcery. See? By her medication. By her recipes for health. Healing. Listen, the word salvation contains reconciliation and healing and restoration and health. The whole thing is in there. And they said, we got it all. We're whole. We lack nothing. And they talked about Jesus. But they turned him down. See, they turned down the word. Christ outside the church. The people have put Christ out by refusing the word. That is exactly what Paul warned. Let's go see it in 2 Timothy again. I'm sorry, Thessalonians. The second chapter, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. This literally means, don't let any man beguile you by actually, or beguile you, actually lead you astray by vain words. What are vain words? Vain words that cannot be backed up. Promises that cannot come to pass. Now listen to me. The Bible said, by your commandments have made, in vain you worship me, having for doctrine the commandments of men. And again it says, you have made void the promise of God by your doctrine. The very promise of God of a second coming. The very promise of God of eternal life. The very promise of God of the wedding supper, of the rapture, of New Jerusalem, dies when a man has a creed instead of a living word of God. That's why I thunder and hammer this word. I don't care what anybody beats. This great thing coming. That great thing. You can have what great thing coming. Stick to that word. Until the life hits that word, then something's going to come. Let me warn again, my brother, my sister. There's the charisma going to speak. But oh, it'll speak. Don't worry. I'm prepared for the hell that's going to break loose. Don't worry. I know something in my heart that you don't know and you'll never know. Not that you won't. You haven't got what I've got. But let me tell you, I know only too well what's coming on the scene. We've gotten by too long. The pressure will soon come. Only pressure we've got so far, we're all too fat and eating too much food. Our belts are too tight and our clothes are too tight. We don't know what pressure is yet. Wait, it's coming. See? Certainly. Got to come because the prophet said so. Now, let no man deceive you. Don't be led astray by vain words or the medication of a Roman Catholic church and the whorish daughters, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Oneness, Tunis, and so on. Now, the church did not listen. And it ends up as prophesied in verse 10 with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. See, what? Why? Because they were deceived that the unrighteousness was righteousness. See? Now, in other words, my brother, my sister, instead of feasting on the word and being filled with the word, they are filled with the deceit of unrighteousness. Death becomes their life. Yeah. Starving out there, the school of the prophets. Food's all gone. It's drought. It's famine. No food. Nothing left. Oh, there's a few gourds here. Throw them in the pot. Bless God. Glory to God. We're going to live. Somebody screamed, death in the pot. Oh, what an astute person was there that day. The prophet came by. I want to tell you, I don't believe there's one person in this message who didn't know something was rotten in Denmark when it came to the church system. Whether you're in a system yourself or not, you knew something was rotten in Denmark. Pardon the expression, but you knew it. You knew something was wrong. Death in the pot. And you know right now something is wrong. Because we haven't come into the full revelation, but it's going to be there. Don't worry. I'm as sure as I stand here. I got no doubt about that. What it'll do is take clothing us and taking us. That's fine. Other things I don't know about, I'm just leaving. You figure them out yourself. If God shows me, that's great. That's fine. Now listen, it is not hard to understand what the delusion of unrighteousness is if we just think for a moment on this wise. What is righteousness? And I'm proving this from every point I can, though you already know what I'm talking about. Let's keep hammering until there's no room for doubt. We can stand up and say to them, shut up! Get thee behind me, Satan. One day the devil came to Jesus and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it's written, his angels shall have charge of thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And he said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. There's too many people quote against quote what Brother Branham said, but to reconcile every single quote and know what the doctrine is a far different thing, my brother, my sister. Not that I got it. Don't worry about that. I'm just telling you the truth. Now listen, they take death for life, and they take the deceit of unrighteousness. In other words, it's so close to the real thing, their food. Now, what is this all about? All right, what is righteousness? All says somebody is justification. Now listen, let's not go to theology, please. Let's not rack up a whole lot of phony ideas. What in plain, unadulterated language is righteousness? Well, let's go to the Old English. It's right wiseness, or that which is simply right. That's all righteousness is, simply right. Being right. Never mind all the theology. Fool you on that. Need that for the PhD, the DD, and the whole rest of them. Now, a righteous thing is a right thing. R-I-G-H-T. Or a correct thing. Without flaw, without change, according to a set demand, lives up to demand, passed the test, and declared to be exact. So that's the right thing. It's because it's right. According to what? A pattern. Now, let's illustrate. So we ask, what is 2 and 2? 4. That is correct. See, that's right. But why is it correct or right? Because it is correct by a set standard. It is one with a set pattern of what is unchangingly true. Notice, 2 and 2 do not make 3. It is not that we cannot call 2 pieces and 2 pieces 3 pieces if that had been the decree. If it had been decreed that 2 pieces and 2 pieces were 3 pieces, meaning that 1 and 1 and 1 and 1 was 3 instead of 4, that'd be it. But it's not decreed that way. It is decreed that 1 and 1 and 1 and 1, 4. See, now that's right. See, and it cannot be changed. Correctness or rightness of anything depends upon a predetermined measurement. And she said, I'm Queen Elizabeth. She's not in a fruitcake. She's mental. She's sick. She's... And you go say, look, girl, you are not Queen Elizabeth. And she said, don't you dare tell me that. Now we can laugh. And it's a joke. She believes it. That's her life. She's happy with it. She's deluded. You cannot talk to a deluded person. You cannot convince a deluded person. Why? Because they're right in their thinking. The womb has opened up. As insanity lies in the mind, so the insane word lies in the mind and gets down here in your spirit and becomes a spirit. It's simple. The unrightness. Now, listen. Their unrightness becomes rightness in their own eyes. Their light becomes darkness. And when a man's light becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? See? Oh, my brother, my sister, John the Baptist with a bright and shining light, and you rejoice in his light for a season. The same with Paul. The same with Luther. The same with Wesley. The same with William Branham. Rejoiced in it for a season. Went off season, and the light became darkness. How many people leave this word for the word of a man? Now, what does God do? He just lets them go. Why? Because they're perverted. Through the perverted word. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. How did they resist the truth? How did they do it? Jannes and Jambres threw down their rods. They did what Moses did. Well, I've got a minister like Brother Brown, said one fellow. Another fellow said, wow, he's dead. His great ministry went down the drain. Look at mine going on. Listen, I want you to see something right here. There is no ministry in the entire Word of God that did not have a heyday, then eclipse and died, went to the ground. Not one ministry. You look at the days of Moses, declined. You look at the days of Samuel, declined. You look at the days of John, declined. The days of Jesus, declined. The days of Paul, declined. They all declined. And William Branham declined. See? Why? Because that Word's got to take over. Got to go to the people now. Once the vindication set in, once the Word of God had its day in the sense of manifestation, as Brother Branham said, we've seen the Word of God vindicated in power, but when is it going to get vindicated in revelation? Got to go to the people, see? Now, listen, Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So did these also resist truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning faith. There is a human faith. There is a faith of Jesus Christ. And there's a reprobate faith, which is the Word of God misapplied through human reasoning and understanding instead of the word, instead of the mind of Christ. People don't understand that. Oh, I know they don't. Only the prophet taught us, thank God. See? But it's true. Now, that this is true, see, is something we can illustrate from the Word. Now, we can illustrate unrighteousness as found in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, 7 and 12. Now, you all know what that's about. It's about the children of God contrasted to the children of the devil through the example of Cain and Abel. Both religious. Both took the Word. But one man misdivided the Word. And remember, the Bible said, show yourself a student approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Then a workman who does not rightly divide the word of truth must be ashamed, and if wood, hay, stubble, and burning, now to the lake of fire. Misdivided word. Not just saying, I believe the word hell, do you? I got an experience. But the divided word, see? It's shown here. And it said the deeds of Cain were evil. His brother's works were righteous, then his were unrighteous. What was his unrighteous work? Going to God outside the revelation and presenting a first fruit. Beautiful, lovely. The scripture said Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And if he offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, then Cain's sacrifice was excellent. Nothing wrong with it. The word of God said, thou hast rightly offered, yet you didn't rightly divide. And if you did not rightly divide, you're outside the fold. Now, the last day church says we're rich in Christian goods and don't lack a thing. Look at, we've got it. We speak with tongues. We're doing a great work. And God said, you're not God. You haven't got it. He said, you're wretched. You're miserable. You're naked. Who are you going to believe? See? Now look, at the end time, it is going to be so close, righteousness and unrighteousness, that only the elect won't be deceived. Now, a man believes this message. Won't put his church in order. Something's wrong somewhere. But you know what he's going to do? Run around and accuse all of us who put the church in order, though we're wrong. Yeah. Brother Branham said, Brother Neville, let's just wait a while. Let's just see about those gifts, everybody on the floor talking. We'll correct it. We'll see if it can stand correction. If it can't stand correction, it's a bastard child. So ran away. They said, well, glory to God, left the tabernacle. That's okay. A bastard child in William Branham's church is a bastard child even if Jesus Christ came down here and had a church. Amen. Why? Because it's His Word. Amen. You think Christ standing here to vindicate William Branham don't have a church with gifts on the floor? The same man that teaches that runs around the world from Europe teaching he had a dream. And in his dream, the store was full of beautiful things, and beautiful shelves, and beautiful drawers, and beautiful goodies. And us preachers in America, we're pulling things apart. But he, the great man, doing it right. Hogwash. I think a certain great man from Europe that started the Second World War came back with his collar on backwards. I preach tough, I'm not bitter. But I'd had it up to here. Deceived and being deceived. One word. Why did the prophet put the church in order? I asked, why did he do it? To see if you had a real gift. Put it there. If you got something, put it there. They said, well, Brother Branham, that puts us on the spot. He said, ain't I on the spot? Amen. How often I stood before the people and prophesied it came to the letter. But I was wrong. Public ministry is not mine. My teaching that word, put it back there. What's the minister doing with it even? You're to compliment the Word. Oh, that fools them! Because they want some experience to be their guide or something else. Can't the preacher say, Word, 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 Word! That's your job, to bring the saints of God to a full perfection. Not you with some ministry thinking you got some hog, what? The prophet of God had it as his vindication. It was his ministry. Everything else spells of a false anointing. Put it where it belongs. Let's see who we got. Huh? Oh, they don't want that to die. God, tonight, send your hammer and crush whatever I got that's wrong. Bust it wide open. Pulverize it. Make it like dust and blow it away at the wrath of thy countenance, the presence of thy might. Amen. Such nonsense people preach and call it what the prophet said. They had it back there. What is it? It's not the spirit of Christ. It's Antichrist. I'm not bitter. Just tell you the truth. I'm fed up with this nonsense. People making themselves something. Who made any man anything? Where is the man that's got something? There's no man can prove anything. I challenge anybody here or anywhere in the world. Show me what you got. You haven't got a thing to stand up. See? Let's face it. Let's be honest.
See?
There's where humility is. Come on down to the Word. See, now listen. So close, only the righteous will not be deceived. Now, almost impossible to know. Let me show you something here. Matthew 24 and 24 would destroy us all. How are you going to be not deceived? Is God going to somehow come down and talk to each one of us? He's been doing it, I suppose, in Pentecost for the last several years, and he's all told each one of us something different. Proof he didn't hear from God at all. Let's find out who he's going to do it. Because he's got to do it. Sure. Over here in Malachi, the 3rd chapter, and verse 7, beginning, even from the days of your father. Who's he talking to? Children! You have gone away from my ordinances. But what's going to happen? Elijah's supposed to come and turn the children back. Man, what's he going to turn them back to? The Word of God. See, I haven't gone from God. I've got the joy of the Lord. I've got the talking in tongues, have you? Have you got the Word of God tonight? That's what they want to know. See, well, Brother Bill, I just don't hold with everything Brother Brandon said. Well, I do. And when the revelation becomes complete, I'll be turned right back to God. Oh, hallelujah! When you're turned right back to God, you're going to be ready for rapture. How's it going to be done? By the prophet's word. Hey? Certainly, I'm no axe to grind. Don't think so. Fool, I could preach no more. Never preach another word. I don't care. But I know where I stand. I'm going to be pushed away from this word that the prophet brought. Return unto me! And I'll return unto you. And you said, where shall we return? I've had an experience. I've got something going for me. I'm as good as the next guy. Well, I'm not as good as the next guy, I can tell you that. Never have been, never will be. I don't know too much. But I can read my Bible. As long as I read my Bible, I don't have to be smart. A lot of people think I got a big education. They're silly and I don't have any education. Not to mount the hill of beans. I went through high school, but I could preach this way if I had gone only through grade 8. Wouldn't matter. Or grade 5 or grade 6. I spoke as perfect English in grade 4 as I spoke in grade 12. Don't worry. Not brains, not education. I can read. And I can hear. And the prophet said that Malachi would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And it said, from your fathers, you've gone astray. So therefore, this is for me. I got to get turned back. Amen. Now, how am I going to get turned back? To the Word. Now, when I'm fully turned to the Word, I'm fully turned to God and returned to God. Certainly. Remember that little parable he told? A man had 1,900 sheep and 99 were laying in the fold. Yeah, and one was out there in the wilderness. And he went and got him, took him upon his shoulder. And he said, he rejoices more over one sheep of God than 99 just sheep. And everybody said, isn't that sweet? He wants 100-fold. Those lovely sheep. Hogwash. There were 99 in the fold, lying there in the self-delusion of their own justification, while the little sheep out there cried, Father, Father. And he came and brought him in, and he rejoiced that 1 out of 100 could look to him for justification, him bearing this. Hallelujah. Let's get back to the Word, brother and my sister. Christ, that Word, bearing us on his shoulder. Bearing us back to God. They said, where shall we return? One man had the nerve to stand up in near Jeffersonville and say, if William Branham were here today, he'd have to admit he was wrong and I was right. There are no axe to grind. I'm just telling you these things. Where is your spirit tonight? Where do you stand, in Antichrist or Christ? Oh, the world's looking for Antichrist. Just come and take over these great big moths and say, terrible that such a beast should come and go, whoa. Look, if you've been eating cake all this Christmas season and puddings and pies, and lovely stuffing and gravy, if you don't look at the scale and you see 10 pounds and say, oh, horrors, somebody came last night and filled my shoes with lead. You know who filled your shoes with lead, your stomach with fat? You did. You ate it. I lost 8 beautiful pounds and maybe put on 10 ugly pounds. Who did it? My wife did. Because you can't trust women. She got a big needle, a great big needle, and she got some lead sulfate. I think that's a good enough thought. And she just pumped me full of it at night. So my miserable, mean wife made me fat and ugly. She said, oh, God. Isn't that a beautiful story? The Antichrist, she said, he came up out of the people. They didn't want the word. They and he are one. They rejoice in him. They're happy. See? No, you say what Brother Branham said. I'm not against the people. It's the organization. Well, that's very sweet. Now, let's just take a little look at something here. He said, you always got to do something to make something happen. So he tossed the rock in the air. Thus said the Lord. Start of the whirlwind. Starts a suction. Causes an earthquake. Is that right? All right. Here stands a Nicolaitan bunch of bishops. And they stand and they say, we want the people to take over. Yep. Now, there's nobody to take over. See? Nobody. But inside there's a group who doesn't want the word. So now, we've got something here and something here. See? Something to start something. See? It's got to be that way, or never would start. If God had not made Eve the way she was, which was a step down from the original, there would have been no problem. But he said to Adam, for this woman you're going to leave me. And you'll do it because she will supply sexual intercourse, and she'll get you all ready, and that'll take care of it. And just what the Word of God said she did. Now God says there's a Nicolaitan spirit over here. And then Paul come along and he said, with John, the people turned down the word. Now you got to set up. It was a word, doctrine, then the Spirit hits it. Once they want it, over here, the Spirit hits it, energizes them, and they say, fully to you, John. You say, listen to you, and that's God. Hogwash. We listen to Billy over here. Or his mother-in-law. His father-in-law or somebody. Or Josephine. Or Amy. Catherine. See? They're ready for it. Now what happens? They get together. But listen, if they'd have stayed with the word, Nicolaitanism never would have taken a hold. Now do you see what he's saying? See? Come out of here, my people. I don't condemn you. I'm going to tell you something, though. If they don't come out, they are condemned. Because you and I don't condemn anybody. They're already condemned. Okay? Let's get the picture straight. Now, God sent the prophet, and he restored with the true revelation. But today, they're repenting. But are they getting something? Now, what's repentance? A change of mind. What if you change your mind wrong? Change of mind. Change to what? Vindicated preaching. They're being baptized. How? They're being baptized wrong. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They're producing fruit, but not from the Word. They're producing gifts, but not in accord with the Word. So they're still lost. Now, let's look at some examples in the Bible, see where we're at tonight. Then we'll get out of here quick as we can, because I'm on the last 6 or 8 pages. Now, they take the longest to preach, I'm sorry. I get really wound up. I'm lying to you. I'll be out in here a few minutes. Just want to see if you could take it. All right, Ephesians 1, 15 to 21. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints. Notice love and the faith go together. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And now, listen, here's what Paul wants for the people. Laodicea doesn't want it, but Paul does. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now listen, Pentecost started with the word revealed in power. A pruria. Simple as ABC. They said at Pentecost, Peter, what does this mean? Are they drunk? He said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. This is the word of God that you see in manifestation. The word of God was revealed in power, but not in revelation. It took Paul to bring it. Now they knew the Word of God in power, but they didn't know in Revelation. And He may give you now not the spirit of power, which is dunamis, but the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ coming into your being and mind. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. See, where does your eyes function? In your mind. Your eyes are cameras. Your eyes are holes in your head, sensitive units. But you don't see with your eyes. You see with your brain. You don't hear with your ears. You hear with your brain. You can bypass your ears entirely and hear. See? Your eyes the same way. Man can be taken right today and blindfolded. And by even his own human spirit can reach out and describe colors and know things in a room that you couldn't know ordinarily. And it's not a devil either. Just human spirit. So don't get fooled here. Talking about the mind in here. Now listen. The eyes of your understanding. God using your mind, which is a part of your spirit, that you may know experientially what is the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory, of the inheritance in His saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. Now listen, this follows the revelation. That's why gifts are an adjunct. That's why they're on the shelf, as it were. We have come to the day of the knowledge. The Son of Man has been revealed through the Word of God to us. His brother Branham said she must know her husband, and she's got to know it through the revealed Word. Now, it says your eyes may see this, and then we come to the resurrection power, which is what? The second part of the rapture. The shout, the voice. Then comes the resurrection, then comes the rapture. See? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. And we also must be set with Him at the wedding supper. See? That's what Paul wants for us. That's what God wants for us. That's what we're going to have. And be over the world with Him, reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ in that honeymoon, the ages to come. Now, that's the right thing. Let's go to the wrong thing. 2 Timothy. Man, the way I'm yelling, I must be in voice. Won't have to preach tomorrow night, though. All right. This is hard on the old boy. But won't be long now. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter 49. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What pleasure? In their own doctrines and creeds and dogmas. Unrighteousness. See? Having a form of godliness. Oh, they're not out there boozing, drinking, shooting up the town. No, 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 no. This is not the mafia. Spiritual mafia. Denying the power. What power? What power? That power of revelation which is in the bride through the knowledge and understanding of Him that will put us in the resurrection and the rapture. Denying what then? The turning away of the revealed Word of God. You say, Brother Bale, will revelation do this? Listen, I swear by the Word that I read you, not as though I'm swearing, but I swear I read the Word, and I did. I tell you I read the Word, you know I read the Word, and you know what I read. God's oath to you that you may know, which is a revelation, which will put you there. That's why there's a shout. That's why there's a latter rain falling on the former rain. And that's how there's a rapture, and the dead come out of the ground. See? Look at it. Now, they deny the power. From such turn away. Who needs this message? Who needs Elijah? I've got Jesus, hallelujah, denying the power of revelation of the Word of God. Now, let's get a little serious tonight about us people. I believe in the adoption. I believe in manifestation, but I'm not carried away. Not for 1 minute. Because I don't care what God's going to do in that period. That's up to Him. But I do care about this because this is mine. Whatever God wants me to do, or you to do, when that time comes, you will be doing by divine instruction exactly what to do. And everybody's so happy about it. But let me tell you something, my brother, my sister. I'm happier right now over the fact I'm laying the foundation for it by believing what He said, because without this, anything else can be foolish and false. The power of revelation. Who needs Elijah? I got Jesus, hallelujah. I approve, speaking tongues, do miracles. Yeah, Frisbee does too, and he's got a blue light. The light of God's amber, my brother, my sister. The blue lights of the devil. And that blue light Brother Branham talked to. And he said, in the name of the Holy Church, and the voice came back, I'm Jesus Christ. In the name of the Baptist Church, I'm Jesus Christ. In the name of one God, I'm Jesus Christ. Name it on. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the white light went out. I mean the blue light. You want to put the blue light out and bring the amber light? Huh? Tell you, brother, sister. The testimony to Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. Everybody wants to prophesy here and there. The real spirit of prophecy is being with this word tonight, my brother and my sister. Huh? Well, is it or isn't it? Then where are we? Now, he said here, they got some godness, but they denied the power of revelation. From such turn away. Leave them. Hey? All kinds of miracles and things. I'm not against miracles. I'm all for it. Bless God. Wish I had more of them. I could use several miracles myself. Yeah. Sure testifies to him too. Body here, Brother Rosinke. Tell about his wife how she got healed of cancer. Make your hair stand on end, your heart pump blood fast, and you just feel so good in the presence of God. Okay? Certainly. All for it. But this is greater. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with divers lusts. And they're leading all Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterians, the silly women to the charismatic movement that's going to lead us back to God. Fool. Gifts don't do it. To the rebellious he gave gifts. The rebellious are those that turn down the word, like Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and the rest of them. And you know what they're lined up with? They're lined up with the heathen. See? Janus and Jambers. As Brother Branham said, Baptist, Methodist, witch doctors. You see, a prophet of God said that? Yep, sure did. I liked it too. Oh, it illuminated things to me. I said, hallelujah, witch doctors. I didn't say witch. W-H-I-C-H. W-I-T-C-H. Now you say, which witch doctors? I just told you. Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. One of this two and this whole bunch of them. I might as well level up and be done with it. I thought that question was coming. It wasn't be coming, it was just coming. Listen, laden with sins. Divers lust their pleasures. Y'all got dozens of doctors. Sure. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, what you and I got, that Paul prayed for. You ever hear of a man praying such a funny prayer today? So, what do you mean? I got to have this, I got to have that. I got God, hallelujah. Hey, sure. Now, there you are. Listen. Now as Moses and Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so also they resist truth. That's what he said in 2 Thessalonians. Men of corrupt minds. The wrong remedy. The wrong prescription. The womb to an antichrist spirit. Reprobate concerning faith. A bunch of reprobates manifesting a faith. But they reprobate concerning the true faith, which will take them out of judgment. But they shall proceed no further. Why? Because judgment's going to strike. That's why. You think they're just going to fold and like the Arabs, quietly fold their tents and sneak away? Brother, sister, I don't deal in poetry. I deal in the Word of God. And they said, they shall proceed no further. Why? Because they get swallowed in Antichrist, and he, with the brightness of his coming, destroys them who stood before the Word of God. Amen. As their folly was manifest, Janus and Jambres destroyed the avenging angel coming. So their folly. Korah, Dathan, Abiram swallowed up in the judgment. Oh, there's a blessed day that's coming soon. It may be morning, evening, night, or noon. The wedding of the bride. See. Now, a heavenly bridegroom coming. Certainly. As Noah's flood brought Noah life, the world death. So does the coming of Jesus Christ bring us life, but the world death. But we have no part in it. Just alive. Now, Satan would love to unsettle the bride. He is even now trying to get her to leave the word for creeds and dogmas based on the prophet's own message. Yeah. Yep. Oh, I wrote this. I wrote this little message by inspiration in Toronto. In September, for October, I guess it was. And I wrote here, as I read to you, he is even now trying to get her to leave the word for creeds and dogmas based on the prophet's own message. But only this week coming down to visit you people, did I hear Brother Branham on the tape explaining that his vision of the sower that went forth to sow in the black garment was the seventh seal, messenger sowing first. And you can only get error, my brother, my sister, when the truth has first come. There could have been no Jannes and Jambres counterfeit without Moses. Neither could there be a false prophet without William Branham first coming. Neither could there be a false word without the first word. And what is it based on? Perverting the word of God, not something else. And so these men arise amongst us, and they take the word of the prophet and pervert it. How, my brother, my sister, I told you when I start writing, I simply write, I challenge you, prove me off the prophet's message, one word. I've got it right down here. And I'll keep on preaching the truth. By divine inspiration. Yes, my brother, my sister. Well, they'll take the prophet's message. And they'll take quote upon quote to lead you off the very thing the prophet taught.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. The bride is not fooled. Little Billy Smith hasn't been in this message too long, though. Just a little while. But being a Nazarene from background and Christian Missionary Alliance and a little bit like that, he could catch that idea of something dying, you know. But you living on your sin, the old Methodist perversion of entire sanctification, eradication, but it doesn't work. Men taking quote upon quote. Don't be so naive. They'll not go back to the Methodist. They'll not go to the Baptist. They'll not go to Pentecost. They'll go to this doctrine. If the prophet taught them to rise up and twist it to their own ends. Such nonsense. We're not trying to be self-righteous. That's hogwash. Fooey on that stuff. Let's just stay with the Word. For the unlearned, rest what Brother Branham said, and instead of going to the Word of God, they use quote upon quote out of context, which no more lines up with the Bible than nothing. Yeah. Beloved, we must beware lest we end up a part of the foundation of organization. With our creeds and our dogmas, leaving the true revelation of His Word, which the Bible, not a man's sermons, but the Bible itself contains. Now get it. Brother Branham didn't preach sermons that you and I listen to. He preached the Word of God in sermon form.
Then go to your Bible. Then go to your Bible. See?
You follow what I said? He preached the Bible in sermon form. You don't go to his sermons and quote, 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 back and forth. You go from his sermon to the Word. See? Because he said, once you see this message right, that's all you will ever see in this Word. Then go to that Word. He said the tenth vision slid into the Word where it came from, and if you want the tenth, go to the Word.
Talk about a white horse rider, the Word.
Let any vision come to pass any way it wants. I want the Word. Now, stay with the right, which is righteousness, which is the original pattern, which has been vindicated, which is irrevocable as God Himself, because the Word is God. It is a proven message that Brother Branham gave us, the Word of the hour revealed. Study that message. Then, as he did, go to the Word, and that's all you will see in the Bible. Now listen, I'm reading my notes. If you get wrong ideas in the prophet's teaching, you won't find it in the Bible. Or how could he say it's death to add one word or take one word? This man is repeating the Apostle Paul. If I or an angel of God change one word, let him and me be accursed. And if there's not one word added or changed, then it's this Word. Now take your clue from Brother Branham. He said when that messenger swept in the room that day and revealed what the wine and the oil was, he went to his concordance. He said, here it is, and here it is, and here it is. The students like to hear that, and over here. Yes, look at it. Look at it. Look at it. He didn't say, well, bless God. One seal, two seal, three seal, four. Here we come to five. Bless God. Amen. Now what we'll do is this. We'll take the four seal against the one seal, two seal against three, and the three against five, and the two against like some auctioneer. She's playing some sort of jazzed up Pentecostal hogwash. All dance around, glory to God. Everybody feel good. You feel good. That's it. Each time he went to the Word. So what are you and I doing then? Well, let's see, this tape says this, and that tape says that, and that says this. Over here says here, that must be right there. Oh, the Bible, yes, that's fine, but forget it. Hogwash. Take you back to the Word, back to the Word. He didn't have the Word as though he had the Word. It was already here and had. He corrected the errors. Don't you remember when they tried to lay a trap and said, Brother Branham, with your gift, you could rewrite the Bible. Rewrite the Bible, you got to be sick. Whoever rewrote a pattern. Measure the length of the ray of the sun or some special light or an X-ray. And somebody says, well, I'll just tell you. I'll change the length of that X-ray. Oh, you will you? You fathead, you think you're God? Huh? I'll rewrite the Bible. Hallelujah. Talk like that to a man like William Branham. Somebody's sick. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's got the wrong spirit. Can tell you that flat. Try to catch him. Lay a trap. Huh. They tried to lay their traps. But you know what? You build a trap. Yeah, you build a trap. You know who's going to get caught? He that diggeth the ditch for his neighbor is going to fall in. Yeah, study to see. Then go to your Bible. It is, it just won't be there. See? If you got something wrong. Now, but this prophet's message in the Bible is one. So that is how we know we are in the truth and not caught away into deceit. Now we can see that it would be impossible to have Elijah come and receive the Son of Man, the whole Word, without revealing at the same time the Antichrist. Because he's anti-Word. Now, if I've got the Word, Pentecost says, tongues is the evidence, and the prophet says, no, it's right here in John 14 and in 1 Corinthians 2, it's knowing the word of the hour in your day. Well, beautiful. I took care of that, see? Now, then what is that doctrine? Antichrist. Now you go to them and say, look, here's the Bible. Here's the vindicated truth. And they said, oh, no, never, never. Now, Brother Dale, you cannot take away my spirits. I spoke in tongues, and hallelujah, this is everything. Well, they love what they got. Now, where are they going to go? To where they got their creed and their dogma. Now, Brother Branham categorically laid out for us in the tape. I forget where it is because my memory's too rotten and I don't make notes on those things. But he told us that he revealed the Antichrist. How'd he do it? By revealing Christ the Word. And I've got my righteousness. I've got my pattern. I've got my standard. I've got the irrevocable. I've got the unchanging. I've got God. I say, do you line up with God the Word? Judge this world by Jesus Christ the Word. And he said, I indict this generation. And he turned to Pentecost, to Baptist, to Methodist. Now where's your Antichrist? Where is he? Anti-Word. Coming against the revealed truth. Now here's your Antichrist perversion. It's the perversion of the Word of Almighty God. Now, for when Christ the Word was revealed, we were back to the original and perfect pattern. And with the original pattern, you can see where the church strayed, what she strayed from, and how and what the Antichrist is. Experience, atonement, but you got to come our way. See? Oh, said some, I'm liberal. You don't got to believe what we believe. Now I say, well, do you believe Elijah's first guy to come? And someone says, yeah, I sure believe that too. And I say, then look, what does it mean for him to come? And Latter Rain says, oh, that's a bunch of us. That's all of us. Another bunch say, oh, that's the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
But they're all here and that didn't do it. But go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. You can't add or take one word. Don't listen to a guy like that. Deuteronomy chapter 18. When a man comes in the name of the Lord and the thing that says come to pass, you hear him. Now then, if I'm to hear that man, he can't add or he can't take. That's the man I'm looking for, because he brings me back, takes me Revelation 22, 18 and 19. I'm ready for the rapture. Now, you talk about Christian graces, so do I. You talk about Christian privilege, so do I. But let's go back to what the Word says. Elijah comes and restores. And when he does, he reveals Christ. And there stands the Antichrist. See? Simple as ABC. The perfect pattern, listen, the perfect pattern then became the judge. Right? All right, let's find out. Here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, said John. John prophesying that things would come to pass to the seven church ages, to you and me. Now, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a voice, and I looked, and in the bride was a judge. Now, what's a judge for? A judge is to judge. And what's he going to judge between? He's going to judge as he's supposed to judge, as the world's going to be judged, and by one Christ Jesus. But who is he? He's the Word. The judging Word at the last time, brother, sister, stood up as that lamb without spot and blemish and took upon him his royal robes and stands there. Now listen. Let's go to James. Might as well nail it down with a sledgehammer and a spike. All right, here you are. Be patient, James 5:7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, the resurrection, and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain, the teaching rain, and the living life to make the Word live in you. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. In other words, quit your fussing and your fighting and saying, I've got it, he doesn't have, and so on. Why? Because the judge is standing there. What judge? The Word. Go to the Word. Oh, well, I go to this vision. I go to that vision. I go to this. I don't go to those things. I go to the Word. Now, what about the people there that say they follow this message? Fussing here and fussing there. What do the prophets say to the preachers? Come together, confess what God's doing. Tell the great things that God's doing amongst you. Bring up your problems if you got them. See? Pray for each other. But somebody stands back. He'll say, no, sir. Because I believe in a certain vision or something else. Now, where are you standing? So, Brother Van, you talk as though we're the whole bride. Listen, you better act as though you were the whole bride. Let's get that track. Not up here in some city or other city down here. You forget about Houston. You forget about Austin. New Orleans and every place else. You better act as though you're the bride. And though there's nobody else but you as far as responsibility is concerned. I think we can have some idea here and there. They said, grudge not. Don't you start your complaining, this and that. There's a judge standing at the door. And what is that judge? He is that judge, that Word that has been revealed standing amongst us. And there's your judge right there. How do you answer that Word? The prophet set the example. He said, I do nothing but live for. Let me tell you something about that Word did for the prophet. Let me tell you, therefore, it's going to do the same thing with us. I was up in New York. What did he... 64, November. Brother Branham had come back from his experience out in Colorado, where he came across the things of God, the revelation. And I knew something happened to him. But I was wise. I knew his ways. I didn't say, Brother Branham, I look at you and I know something's happened. Tell me. Wouldn't that be nice now? You don't do that. You wait. He's going to talk, not you. See, he told me the experience. How when he stopped it? The great storm there. Eternal life has got to me.
You can't talk about love and not produce it. For it's not the Word of God. Now do you see where we are and why we have this Word? How can you bastardize it, hybridize it, and bring forth the glory of God? It's impossible. And listen to me. Jesus Christ had not yet died and been glorified. When he said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the foundation of the world. And a voice came from heaven, a thunder, and said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it. Let me tell you, I believe there's going to be a bride standing here when those thunders break loose, that he said, I glorified you. Just with that same glory. I'm going to catch us in rapture. Let me tell you flat, that Word's going to do it. And that Word is going to bring down your and my theophany to join us together and catch us away to God for the complete glorification. See? Not one word's going to fail to come to pass. But every word is going to come to pass in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word test clearly defines the unrighteousness in the church. But the church loves this unrighteousness and calls it righteousness. It's truly deceived. And you can't convince a deluded person. So Christ is outside the church calling for a complete separation from all that is not perfect to the pattern. See? Now, may we never leave this pattern. Why? Because to leave it is to leave Jesus Christ. And every promise becomes vain. Every hope that a man had falls to ashes if one word is changed. Instead of all the squabbling I see going on, how much better that people draw within their own souls and tabernacle themselves with God in their own secret chamber until deep calling of the deep. The depth of God comes to a man's soul, because that's what's going to take him to rapture, which is this Word of God. Nothing else, my brother, my sister. Nothing else. Nothing else. And he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the Father. Lest I come and smite you with a curse. Then listen, my brother, my sister. If this is true, then this Word has removed the curse. And they're coming all over, not with blood now, but by the blood of Jesus, brother God, which is Jesus Christ, which is that Word putting on immortality, which is by that Word I'm hiding in thee. I'm not hiding behind experience, not hiding behind a creed, not behind a dogma, but in that Word. Walk of angels, let me hide myself in thee. Why? It was Jesus made flesh. Brother, sister, I'm enthused tonight. I'm regaled in my soul, stimulated by the revelation of God's Word, and that this is it. And I'm standing here until one day the flesh becomes Word, and Word becomes flesh, and Word becomes Word. In other words, living reality. Hallelujah. I think this is the hour, my brother and my sister, to let bygones be bygones, to let beings go their way. You're all going to walk that lonesome road. Don't you misunderstand for one minute. Our prophet said that you wave these churches as far as they know. You'll now be left alone. I won't have any pastor brothers to go to, as far as I believe what's coming in the future could welcome. You might not have someone to be with. We'll look back, as Brother Banner says, it's all sweet now, but it's going to change. And you'll look back, you had those days. Jesus said the same thing. He said, you're going to recall and want those days of Son of Man, but you won't see them. Our fellowship is sweet. Tonight, let's call bygones be bygones. Let's wipe the records clean. Let's get all sin out of our way. Never mind what anybody does. We're going on with Jesus Christ. Amen. This is now between you and me, for the judge is in this, and we're going to stand on our own 2 feet, where every man must give account, not somebody else. Amen. And that's how we better do tonight, brother, sister. Yes, sir. Remember, Paul the Apostle said, we're not unaware of Satan and the way he does things. And the way he does things is a foment, a non-forgiving spirit.
Right.
What does it matter what anybody's done?
Amen.
Really, they haven't done it against us, they've done it against Christ. See? And Paul said the very thing William Branham said. He said, God, I'm loving that person. How do you know you're? He said, because you're in me, and you're loving them through me. Paul the Apostle said the same thing. If I forgive any man in Christ Jesus, I forgave him. Paul said the same thing. I can forgive that man. I can love that man because it's Christ in me doing it. Oh, I love that prophet with all my heart. I love the way he said that. It's word, nothing but love. It's reality. And I walk with reality. I talk with reality. And one thing, by the grace of God, I'll join hands with reality. After that, I worship and love Brother Branham above Jesus Christ.
But I know he wasn't my instructor in him. So I have 10,000 teachers, 10,000 experiences. He wasn't my instructor in Jesus Christ in the Word. And I love it. Amen. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise at this time?
Our Heavenly Father, going on our way shortly, Lord, knowing that tomorrow will herald the end of the year, that now we are closer to the end of the world. We are closer than when we first believed unto our final step of salvation. The purchase price was paid for us, and you paid it by giving us a measure of the Holy Ghost. And we sold ourselves, Lord, for that same Spirit into captivity for you, to you, and for you, that you might have all the glory and you have our lives. But Lord, until this point, it's been a precarious position, as it were, because we were not turned by that word. And even now, Lord, we're in the process of turning. Oh, Lord, may the bells of heaven peal out in joy. May the trumpet blast a jubilee, free captives nevermore to be caught up in the turmoil and the problems of sin. For, Lord, we're soon to be caught away to you. Oh, Lord, we believe that. And help us, Lord, to be so enamored with it, to be so one with it, Lord, that this is all we will want and esteem it far above our daily bread. Deliver us, O God, from the thraldom of this age, which is in the world. Eat, drink, and be merry, which as the world says, and also we're rich, increased in goods, and have need of nothing. Lord, turn us completely, we pray, that we may see ourselves in your word, our God, and see ourselves fully identified, and then rise up as Brother Branham often said concerning that that colored man that came to America as a slave. He knew that he was the son of a king. Oh, Lord, we know that you reach beyond all color and all barriers, and you come right down to the heart of every man which has to be seed to be in your kingdom. And, Lord, your seed cries out tonight, for we have heard the eagle shout, the cry, we long to rise. But, Lord, above that, it was our privilege to be one of those, and some of us here tonight can say the same thing, that we crawled out of the chicken yard and we came to where that eagle prophet was. And there we sat to be hovered by him and to be nourished by the word. And, Lord, it was goodly. But now, Lord, there is something else. And that is we, as the prophet said, that widow, typing the bride, who would give meat in due season to that one. And that prophet came and said, give me a drink, make me a little cake. And he said she was the same nature. He went to one of the same nature, even as the dove was leading a lamb because of the same nature. And here we are, Lord, as we remember and recall so vividly that how we were in his presence and how we stood, as it were, in the presence of God and received him as the Galatians did Paul, even as though he were Jesus Christ, though indeed in the flesh he was not, but he brought the word. Lord, tonight we pray that that same spirit and that same nature and that same life, O God, which we saw abundant, which was as it were the manna that Moses ate and gave to the people, may we, O God, be not as Israel, who became weary of the manna. But, Lord, the stimulation of the man of our hour, let it, O God, so inspire us until there is nothing left but the word, and we as men beside ourselves, heretics in the eyes of all others, stand with that word and to become that word. O God in heaven, hear our prayer. Answer us, Lord, according to thy word. We want no other answer. Continue revealing it, we pray, Lord God, until the day star rise, and immortality puts on immortality. Corruptibility puts on incorruptibility. And we're changed to meet you in the air. Bless every person, we pray, O God. And I pray now, Lord, as the prophet and prophet said, all scoured out may we be scoured out. God in heaven, with one mighty sweep of thy word, break down every barrier within the womb of our minds. Sweep out every seed, every evil, until the garner swept clean. And the seed word of God is in there, feeding and nourishing us. Until what else could we come forth except, as it were, the bread of God, a bride, the body of Jesus Christ. Lord, these aspirations are too high for us. except that you gave us the invitation. And Lord, you gave us the invitation. As the fluttering of the wings of a mother bird coming upon a nest, rousing those little ones to squawk and to squeal and to scream, Lord, for that food. Tonight, we're just the same. We're little birds in a nest, as it were. Growing our feathers, but screaming for the eagle food. Feed us, Lord. Feed us, Lord, on this bread of life come down from heaven. Until the substance of God becomes our substance. We believe it's possible, Lord. We believe it, O God, according to your word. So we're asking of these mercies in your name, Jesus. We believe, therefore, and we have a right for them. And by faith we expect them. Lord, increase our expectations. May love consume us all. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. For His glory. Amen. The Lord bless you. May God be gracious to you. And may the grace be manifest. Let's leave, sing that little song, take the name of Jesus with you.